Today's the 17th, and it's Robot and Nonsense. I'm actually really proud of myself because I was just responding to a text when Ryan told me all that, and I remembered it.
You didn't say the day of the week?
I said it was the 17th. I said it's Friday. It's Friday.
You didn't say it was Friday.
You didn't say it was Friday.
Gotta get down on Friday.
Walmart unveils a robot warehouse to whisk food to your car.
Oh, wait, did I switch?
Did you?
What? Oh, has it been up there that whole time?
No. As soon as he did that, I was like, oh, God. I don't know. I hope I didn't.
It's fine.
It's the Alphabot. What a great name. How did Google not get that name? How pissed are they if they didn't get the Alphabot?
Alphabet doesn't have Alphabot?
Oh my gosh. Does it have different color letters too, just as an extra flex on Google?
That might be pushing it. So I guess the Los Angeles Times, this is a paywall alternative link, does not have a video. So what these guys are going to do is when you do the online ordering, I guess, all the workers are just stationary and the Alphabot goes and gets the pallet of whatever and brings it to them and they put it in your order and then the Alphabot goes back and gets something else.
And it will take it to your car. That opens up an interesting possibility, though, is how does it know that it's got the right car?
Like license plate reader?
Somebody could just pull in with a fake license plate and be like...
That's a long way to go to steal groceries. Is there a max? How much monetary value can you order in one Walmart online order? Has anybody ever tested that?
I've ordered over $250 before.
Because you do like 4,000?
That's for the office, probably know right? That.
I wonder what... Here's an engagement challenge for you, chat. What's the most expensive but least volume order from Walmart? How much could we put in an SUV if we bought the most expensive yet smallest item?
It'd be saffron, right?
You know the...
like the spice?
Because of the things that I don't want to get into, we have experimented with the delivery things, and the Walmart delivery people are much more accommodating than the Kroger delivery people. Because like the Kroger delivery people show up, and they just open the door, and they just dump it. It's like right just inside the door, they're like, this is you got to deal with it. And the Walmart people, it's like, would you restock the shelves at our thing? And they're like, okay, sure, where does everything go? And then they'll like actually stock it in the kitchen or whatever.
Listen, Kroger's more bougie. You gotta offer them something for their time.
Slip them a 20.
Actually, I bet there is like a time component there, because if they have a lot of orders, they probably have to get back to take the next one.
Well, I was experimenting with that for Mom, because it was like maybe that would help her with the groceries, because they would like bring it and put it where it's supposed to go. Kroger is not willing to do that, but the Walmart people were.
Interesting.
Maybe they're wearing cameras and they're mapping the inside of your home to feed back to the big data to, you know, put on your ad profile. Has too many closets.
Well, I was thinking, like, you know, when everything collapses, it's like, who has the most food stockpiled?
You think the Walmart execs are going to go house to house?
They're probably got a bunker somewhere.
Well, we talked last week about AI trying to file a patent. And that does not fly, at least not in, that was in UK, right?
I can't remember.
They decided, maybe in Europe somewhere. Anyway.
The AI couldn't be listed as an inventor.
AI cannot invent. But from China, we find out something that kind of conflicts with that.
AI written articles are copyright protectable, rules the Chinese court. So this is Tencent. They've got an AI news article author thing. It's called like DreamScope or something? Dream whatever. Dream something. And Dreamwriter. There we go. Dreamwriter, the articles that it writes are copyrightable by Tencent because somebody took those articles and said, we can republish them. You guys had a robot write them. We can just republish it freely. Chinese court said, nope.
That is a financial thing. And I've been looking at financial research lately. And that there is so much of that garbage out there. And it's always a clickbait. It's like, what does Tesla's earnings per share say about the company? They never answer the question. It's just like a robot pumping out the standard data that you get from the company's press releases in that, you know, like flowery AI paragraph structure. And that's just everywhere. It's ridiculous.
See, I read an article the other day. I can't remember what it was about, where like, It was mostly fine, but some of the sentence structure was just really bizarre. And I was like, either this is someone who English is not their native language, or this was written by like a bot, because it was very strange.
You know, it's interesting they do that, because It's just they're. It should be list items. They're just iterating data.
Yeah, but instead they write out like
they have to. So it's like, and next let's look at also on one of our topics today, and then like every transition, but they don't ever use the same one twice, and it gets really weird.
It's like when you're writing a research paper and you have a minimum word requirement.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of unfortunate, but I guess I kind of agree with it because who else would own it? Would it just be not owned?
That can't exist in our society.
How would you guys have the balls to get into an air taxi drone?
Probably not V1.
I don't have balls at all, so.
Would you have the ovaries?
The ovaries to get into? I don't know if I would trust this. I guess, like, if it became normalized and there were safety stuff.
No,
like,
you're the first person.
First person? No, probably not. No. There's a picture there. Pilotless air taxi from China's Yihang takes flight in the U.S. for the first time.
So, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper looked on as this thing flew off?
He didn't get in it. He just watched it. He was like, all right, let's hope those people don't die. And then he high-fives the guy next to him.
Well, there's nobody in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. It says 100 people.
That were watching.
Oh, watching.
You think there's 100 people in there?
Well, like, I thought maybe they did multiple trips. I didn't know.
So it's good for 500 to 600 pounds. I think with the American market, that's with luggage. So
it's like one person.
Two people with luggage has to be less than 500 pounds. I mean, if it's 5 to 6, are you really going to be like, yeah, let's go to 6?
Let's, yeah, it's fine.
No, I think I'm gonna
cut amazed by how much people pack for like when you're in the airport and they've got like 10 right. bags. It's like, what are you... where are you going?
My suitcase for more than 3 days is usually like 80 pounds.
Really? Oh, so yours is all tech. That makes sense.
Yeah. So two of you in the air taxi?
Yeah.
So.
So. I pack very light.
Maybe that'll motivate us as a country to trim down a little bit. We'll see.
They keep putting stuff in... corn syrup and everything.
it's so everyone's good. Fault except for mine. Yeah.
Corn syrup is so delicious.
I couldn't sleep last night.
The corn syrup.
And I was like, man, I wonder why I can't sleep. I was like, definitely didn't have anything to do with the Coke I drank right before bed.
Well, what about your chips that you ate on Friday?
I felt fine when I got home. I ate some oatmeal.
That character that Mike Myers played, is like they put an addictive chemical in it that makes you crave for it. Nightly, good. that's corn syrup, as it turns out.
It's delicious.
Yeah. So maybe the Chinese company didn't put that into account when they marketed their air taxis here. Maybe I had some rotors.
Yeah, I've flown on one of the Chinese airlines, and they definitely assume that you're not very tall or fat. It's very like my hips.
Even American ones, like the height is not. My poor husband was just like.
Well, that's
crammed into a seat when we went on our honeymoon.
I mean, that's just all about maximizing the dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Microsoft has some interesting new AI that they're rolling out into Skype and all of the online gaming platforms. And I would love to look at how this thing works because there's a dark psychology that has to be measured here. And how do you do that? What are the patterns? It's very fascinating to me.
Microsoft launches a tool to identify child sexual predators in online chat rooms. The thing that I want to do is run the transcripts of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood through this thing.
And see if it catches anything.
I have no doubt that Mr. Rogers is probably the nicest human being that has ever lived in a million years.
How can you say that when Bob Ross exists?
It did seem kind of creepy when you go back and look at it. And... it makes sense because no child would be thinking of that.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, children are innocent for the most part. But you got to think as parents, you'd be like, oh, what's Mr. Rogers doing?
Yeah.
See, I haven't watched Mr. Rogers in so long. Like, I don't really remember anything being creepy, but.
Well, he would actually talk about things that were actually, he didn't shy away from talking about things that were tough that children might be going through. In such a way that now we might actually consider, it's like, obviously this is an adult that has an ulterior motive.
But I do agree that that is the best way to do it. I don't think we should shelter our children from things like that. Because that eventually they have to deal with it. And I think the sooner you expose them to it, the more you can sort of like, you know, prepare them for the horror of it. There's limits, you know. Let's not show them a gangbang at 3.
Oh, it was a train horn.
That was way too close to be a train.
What was that?
A boat.
Is that the depot melting down? We got the wind advisories yesterday, and like our emergency radio was going off, and I was like, "Oops, sake!" I had to like run upstairs and check on it, but it was just for the weather.
But the wind was so high that the high tension lines were arcing together.
Yeah,
it was an unpleasant day yesterday, and I don't have a.
There's no segue.
Oh, you know what? This is a great lead-in. So yesterday, I decided to get a pizza. But I live out in the county. I'm not near any pizza stores. So I actually have to drive into town to get my pizza. And I looked at the weather, and the weather was like, it's going to start raining like you've never experienced at 2 o'clock. And this was at 1:15. And I was like, I can make it. So I drove the car, which is not an all-weather vehicle. And as I was coming, I was on my way back with my pizza. And I saw those clouds, and I was like, oh,
the wind got real savage there.
Well, my car's immune to that because it's just basically a sliver of metal laying on the
pavement. Yeah, that's true.
And so as I was pulling into the garage, my garage door opener is very unresponsive. And it was like one of those horror movies where I can't get the key in the door. So I'm like, I'm hitting it, and the first big drops are like falling. And finally I got in, I settled in, I started to eat my pizza, and boom, the power goes out. I'm in the basement with no flashlight, with a mouthful of pizza, and I had to try to negotiate the stairs in total darkness. And I wouldn't have had any of those problems if Zoom didn't give up.
Oh.
SoftBank-backed Zoom is laying off half its staff and shuttering its pizza delivery business. So this was a robotic pizza company. CES had the pizzas made by robots. It didn't make as much of a splash, I guess. So they're reading the writing on the wall here, and it's like, nope, not going to do this.
This truck is useless now.
It's a good idea. It's just, it's not time yet.
When can it be the time? So now they do have some other things that they're still doing, and they claim that the pizza trucks taught them lessons that are going to help, but no more pizza trucks. Sad. Very sad. Now, we have seen some big flops. Or last year, in 2019, a lot of terrible, terrible movies. A lot of remakes, a lot of rehashed garbage. And I can only think that that's going to continue when this goes into effect. This is going to be terrible.
Warner Brothers signs a deal for AI-driven film management system. Exclusive. Let me just translate this for you. So you might have been thinking that a lot of the stuff coming out of Hollywood is derivative and formulaic. Now it is literally driven by an algorithm that follows a formula that is derived from previous material.
So they talk about, for example, when they go to a film festival, they have their bid. It's a bidding war. So people go in and screen a movie for the first time ever. All the studios see it at once. And then there's a bidding war. Can we get this actor? Can we get this script? Can we get all these things? This AI is going to start doing this. And you know it's going to be just the same stories, the same people. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this person had one successful film, so that means they'll have another one, so I'll just pick them again. It's literally just codifying
is this
the already existing horrible structure.
Is this the beginning of the block where we talk about AI, you know, trying to do arts and humanities, and then it's like, what is that saying about our cultural influence?
I left that for the last one, but the transition from this to nonsense, because I love those the poetry, as I was talking about. Yeah. Those poems are so good. But you know who this is great news for is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because he's going to be the
it's
lead
good
man
news for anyone who's already in Hollywood.
Yeah, there's not going to be a movie that comes out in 2021 that he's not in.
What are they going to do when they need to find hot new sexy starlets? Epstein's gone. This AI can't find him.
We'll just use like one of the older, more experienced actors or actresses and deepfake her every time.
But don't give her any money for her likeness. Right.
And use body doubles.
We're using B. Arthur, but we've de-aged her.
Dame Judi Dench as the hot young starlet, the love interest. Is B. Arthur alive?
Oh.
No, that's why it would be possible.
That's especially dark.
No, I'm saying you get the person that can show emotion and act to do the acting, and then you just replace them in post.
That's probably going to happen anyway.
Yeah. And speaking of that, that's a great... I didn't even intend for this, but the transition is perfect here because people are doing that, not in films yet, but in every other kind of marketing. Just make up a fake person.
AI companies are selling photos of fake people to dating apps and marketers. So photos of AI-generated humans help create the illusion of a bigger, more diverse population.
This is for dating apps, it's a little dark. For marketers, that makes sense. Or for people like me who are designers who need stock images.
Oh, but that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it... So, for example, if you put up our staff page on your website and your company's a little too white, perhaps, you insert some diversity.
What?
But it's not real people.
What happens when someone comes into your office to have a meeting and it's like, wait.
Well, they're working remotely from their home.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, with dating companies, obviously extremely attractive women probably don't have a hard time getting dates. So let's just add some of those.
They're the hot singles in your area.
It's funny because we've literally worked on projects where it got popular enough that, like, the spam bots invaded and it's like, okay, we can just kneecap that. And then it was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then it's like, wait, our signups are dropping. And it's like, well, those were all fake
spam,
people. You didn't want that. I was like, no, it makes our numbers look good. Put that back. And it's like, what? What?
In fact, we're going to hire a service to create more of those.
The darkest timeline. Because of the algorithm.
Now, Krista, you've done some Airbnb-ing lately.
Yeah, last year.
How curious are you to know what your psychopath score is? Because I would love to know mine.
Airbnb claims AI can predict whether guests are psychopaths. I don't think I would be. I don't think I would rate very high because I'm always like scared when I stay at an Airbnb. Like I always try to be.
No, this is beforehand. So
it does it before.
They use stuff like your credit history and your social media profiles and whatever they can find about you. I'm sure your advertising profile goes into that, and they assign you a score, a risk score.
Huh.
Yeah.
But I have so. Every time I've been on Airbnb, I always get like a high rating from the place I stay at because I always like make sure all the towels are put away and
look at me.
You know, I make sure all the dishes are done before we go, and it's important that you leave it better than you found it.
Here's the thing,
and
though,
you leave a nice note for your host.
I'm gonna burst your bubble here, Kirsty, because my mom does that. So my mom won't leave a hotel without making the bed.
I don't make the bed. I like but, take all the I strip the bed and I put the towels in the bathtub.
But here's the thing. Don't you think in some cases, if there was a really lazy hotel worker and they were like, oh, they didn't use the bed. I'm not washing those sheets. Or they find the dishes that you did and they're like, oh, they did the dishes. And they don't bother to rewash them themselves.
You can't trust people to wash the dishes
correctly.
It's
better to just be a pig and guarantee that it gets cleansed for the next person.
Well, that's why you put everything away. Like you put used towels in the bathtub and then you strip the bed.
Krista, what if the person before you was a psychopath? And they licked all the bowls. But visibly, they looked fine. And then they just put them in the drainer as they left.
So, you know, it's a possibility that you live with when you stay at an Airbnb.
You shouldn't do those things. It's unintended consequences.
So is your psychopath score higher, you think, because you don't clean after yourself?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that. It's all before you get there for the score.
I definitely think that somebody would take the time to lick all the bowls. That's like kind of like the malicious compliance. Like, oh, if you're supposed to do that with this protocol and I just don't want to do that, I'm going to do this horrible thing and chuckle to myself because whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Of course. Yeah. If there's darkness that I can't even fathom that people are doing to Airbnbs.
Yeah.
So you got to protect other people as well as yourself. Meanwhile, Samsung is doing amazing things with artificial humanity. Now, when I first looked at this, I thought that one of these was real and one was just a copy. And I was like, my God, I can't tell the difference. I looked at it for like 5 minutes. I was like, I literally can't tell the difference. But this is all just fake. It's all a fake person.
Samsung's artificial human project definitely looks like a digital avatar.
Does it, though?
I would think that this image has been edited. Because
her chin is different.
And her skin tone looks, like, weirdly flat. It could just be lit poorly, too. Like, it looks waxy.
No, it's That's not, it's not real, Krista.
I know. That's what I'm pointing out. Like, it doesn't look real.
Now, very androgynous. I mean, I would call this female.
That's right, the that's right. The look now, though. It's like the high-waisted jeans and the turtlenecks.
But you could go, you could easily say that's a male, right?
No, it looks female to me.
I'm saying it's so close. Like, it's a short hair and, like, just the body type.
I think her hair slicked back.
You don't know.
I think it's very androgynous. Anyway, totally fake person, and no one's sure exactly what's going on with this, because we haven't seen it move or anything like
what,
that.
What is this thing?
Also, are the arms too long?
No, it's because she's got the high-waisted jeans on. That's the look right now, okay. Ryan. It's like, don't, you don't even
I
know.
I don't like that look.
I don't like that look either, but...
It's horrifying.
I don't like to tuck in my shirts, so...
Anyway, Samsung is creating entire human beings that are totally fake, and God help us all. I'm not sure how they'll use that. I guess it could be like a...
A model, a spokesmodel, an influencer.
I'm thinking like hospitality type thing.
Oh, that was a dupe.
Oh, yeah, well, that is a dupe.
Oh, terrible. Now, we've talked about Gatebox before. We had a lot of fun with Gatebox before because, wow, what a great product. And if you don't remember what it is... Now, Hikari is not the name. What was the name from when we first talked about that?
Hatsune Miku?
Yeah, Hatsune
They always Miku. Refer to her as Hikari in this one. I guess it's just a different...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that was one of the downloadable personalities that you had. And then, like, the company that did it was different because people were constantly correcting us on that.
So, anyway, there's this great...
sad commercial.
We won't play the commercial again, but you should watch it if you haven't seen it because it's amazing. But it's a little box with your 2D girlfriend in it. Although she's actually rendered in 3D in the box, which is kind of cool. And they're $3,000, probably a committed but small audience for those. And because of that, Gatebox is looking to expand.
A very Japanese virtual companion is being westernized. Goodbye, Hikari. Hello, cruise ship concierge. So I guess you go on a cruise, you have one of these in your room, and you talk to it, and it's like, bring me whatever, and it's like, okay.
What are the westernized? Oh.
Now, they have downsized a little bit because, so if you look at, here's Hikari. She's rendered in full 3D from like a little hologram base here. This is just a tablet stuffed in a glass tube. And this is the male version. They talk about a female version too who just looked like, you know, like very basic and professional.
This guy doesn't look nearly as sexy as Hatsune Miku.
Yeah, but.
Why is his crotch outlined in green?
Just to let you know.
It's there.
Just to draw
gotta keep
the
it
eye.
Sexy. Yeah.
I'll let you guess why the color slowly changes from green to red.
Oh. And these guys are going to help you out when you're on cruise ships and things like that, and they're going to use the same AI. The Gatebox will like greet you when you come home. It'll remember things for you, and it's, you know, it's like a girlfriend basically.
Will it remember my peanut allergy, or will the ship's chefs murder me?
I think didn't they also if you could put a phone number in there and she would call you during the workday and talk to you.
So yeah, you wouldn't look like such a loser at lunch.
So
I think that's what the commercial implied.
Interesting to see those on a cruise ship. Although there is a camera, right?
Yeah.
So. In your cabin.
Don't worry about that. Change right in front of it. You'll feel fine.
It's fine.
That light just turned red after I started changing in front of the...
Started blinking more rapidly. The more I took off.
The crotch light.
And finally, for the AI section, we have... Let me make sure this is the end of the AI section. I've embarrassed myself already with that.
Looks like your ad blocker's on.
Yes, okay. We talked about AI writing financial reports, and that belongs to the AI. We talk about them filing patents. That does not belong to the AI. So now we have to ask ourselves, what about poetry?
The Mechanical Muse and the New Yorker. So machines are learning how to write poetry. How should artificial intelligence alter our appreciation of art? So I think what they're trying to ask here is, if we're using AI for things like music composition, artwork, writing, poetry, whatever, what implications does that have for society?
Now, this did not, it didn't write them. Krista, can you read that?
No.
Oh.
I can read it.
But let's talk about what it is first. So it did not write these. What it did was it went to Twitter.
That's always a good well of inspiration.
And these are all individual one-line tweets. That was the rule. It has to be a one-line tweet. So it would get one tweet, or it would get a bunch of tweets, and it would rhyme them based on the individual tweets.
Also, it had to rhyme. That also changes things.
Yeah, yeah. And so it created this kind of beauty.
Okay, oh, someone should read it if they can see it.
It's a train wreck. It's like, I pay attention to the little shit. Yeah, the teacher aren't trying anymore. Not even going to encourage it. Never been in Twitter jail before. Two people want to be in my bio. I wanted some banana pudding, too. Don't be a menace is a classic, though. Know what's amazing? Johnny Walker Blue.
I think perhaps a good title for this news Stunning. Episode will be I Never Liked Sabrina Anyway. So they got several of these, and they're worth a read. We won't read them all out loud, but they are pretty funny. That just random tweets turned into poetry by an AI.
It's weird that they don't try to like group the tweets by topic and then tell it to write a poem on X topic.
That would be much more difficult, I think.
Probably, yeah.
People picking up Electric Chronic.
I would. That should be the title right there.
We would definitely get flagged.
Oh, yeah, chronic. We can't use that one.
It's drugs.
Bother. Stupid algorithm. The algorithm is already influencing culture. You see? It's already.
Otherwise, people won't watch our videos.
And moving on to nonsense. Now, this story was really all about the picture.
And it's not. Ad blocker's on. Thanks, Popular Science.
Well, check out the Popular Science link. It's like cuttlefish perceive depth, and they wore 3D glasses to prove it. So what they did was they glued some Velcro on the cuttlefish, they Velcroed some 3D glasses onto the cuttlefish, and they projected images in 3D to see if the cuttlefish would accurately track prey, and they did.
So they had 3D shrimp flying toward the cuttlefish on a screen, and it tried to eat them.
Aww. Bless
and
its
it's
heart.
So adorable with its little 3D glasses. And then they probably immediately killed that fish.
Yeah, they did have to. They talked about it was difficult to get the cuttlefish to respond correctly.
So we teased it with food that wasn't real.
And now we will kill it ourselves.
And then ripped the glasses off, injuring it in the process, and then probably ate it. Can you eat a cuttlefish?
Did we ever get a follow up on the pigeon that had the hat glued to it?
They got one hat off.
I knew that.
And they couldn't find the other one. So one pigeon's still out there.
Wasn't it like Calamity Jane? That's a good name.
Yeah, both of them had a good name. There was a male name too. I can't remember what it was though.
Yeah.
Well, this one is more of a, not really nonsense, but just more of a tragedy.
Yeah.
And doesn't really have anything to do with technology. It's just I felt it was important that we probe the absolute depth of human depravity. And remind ourselves of the darkness that is the human existence.
We're supposed to bring people up on the Friday news.
Police in Australia are accusing 24 people of deliberately setting brush fires. So the fires in Australia were really bad. These people made it worse.
And a lot of them were kids. Good job, Australian parents.
I feel like there's like nothing really to say there other than like, come on, dude. That's what happened to... Back in like September when it was so dry here and we had all the fires in Daniel Boone National Forest, there was a burn ban and people were still lighting fires and it caused one of the fires to get worse.
Stupid people.
Yeah.
Well, was it the Impossible Burger that we tried or was it the other one? Which one's from
Burger
King?
We did the Impossible Burger.
Impossible, okay. I didn't like it. I mean, it was okay, but...
It was fine. But as soon as it got cold, it was like not even remotely good. Whereas like beef, it's like, this is cold, but it's all right.
It's terrible. And... So I wasn't completely convinced, but it's still popular, and it's so popular that Impossible has not stopped at beef. They continue.
We ate Impossible Foods faux pork, and it was good as hell, according to this article.
Oh, what an excellent way to write that.
Mm. Imagine it's like, let's just ground up people, because people are less important than animals.
So these are various sausage products.
They all look good.
Well, this was made by, I think, a very good chef.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not a Burger King meal. But they claim it was all amazing.
I'm not opposed to meat alternatives. I wish they just wouldn't refer to them as such. Like, because then you're thinking, the whole time you're eating it, you're thinking, oh, this could taste like actual beef, and then you just want real beef.
Well, they claim this does taste like actual pork. Even to the texture, they said. Like the ground pork, the sausage type stuff. Tasted or felt exactly the same.
I think that was part of my problem with the Impossible Burger is that the texture was slightly off. And then it also had like a dirt taste. like an after. I don't know how to describe it. Dirt's not the right word. But.
It's the root.
Yeah.
That literally just grew in the dirt.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it takes on some of the.
It has like that kind of earthy quality to
nutrients.
It.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, it's not necessarily any better for you than eating the meat. It's really just so you feel better about yourself.
Well, you feel better about the planet, I guess. In theory, it takes less resources to make that. But
does it, though? Because the process is intensive. I don't know if that's true.
But the process to grow a cow is also, and transport the cow.
Listen, I'm at the top of the food chain. I'll enjoy myself while I'm here. We talked about John Deere, and John Deere does really terrible things with its tractors by putting in a firmware that doesn't allow you to make replacements or repairs. That seems like something that might kill your business, right? It should in a perfect world, except how do you compete? Who's the competitor? Because all the major tractor brands are doing it. So what's a farmer to do? Well, there's a solution, and it's a hilarious one.
For tech-weary Midwest farmers, 40-year-old tractors are now a hot commodity. This tractor was built in 1980, or tractors built in 1980 or earlier are causing bidding wars at auctions. And the reason is because, mechanically, the modern tractors really aren't a lot different than the ones from the 80s, but the electronics are completely different, and they're actually hostile toward repairs. So I think it's a mischaracterization. The headline makes it almost seem like the farmers are Luddites. It's like, no, the farmers are actually very skilled technologically and know how hideously evil modern farm equipment is, and they're just like, no, I don't want any part of this.
Well, the issue, too, is like, if you need to, you know, the software service model basically goes to this. And then, like, if your tractor breaks down and you have to call someone out to fix it, they might not be there for a week, and then you lose a whole crop because you didn't get to harvest it at the peak of freshness.
And, you know, you talk about how these guys are actually pretty skilled. This guy that they interviewed bought this 1980 tractor, put a satellite navigation system in it.
Yeah.
And it's automated now. It's a drone from 1980.
And that combined, that cost, what, like $40,000 for the tractor plus the mods, whereas a modern tractor to do that was $150,000, and it doesn't have the DRM problems.
Can easily go up to $250,000.
Yeah.
So $250,000 for something that breaks down and is useless for weeks at a time.
It's like, listen, I can just DIY it. Come on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of... I wonder if I wanted to get into the tractor building business and just make super basic... no frills tractors and sell them for $75,000. Could I do that? It seems like there's a market that would support it.
There's probably an ODM in China that is like ready and right there. You need to find John Deere's ODM in China and they'll probably be more than happy to work with you.
But I bet like the transmissions and stuff are still too complicated. I want to make just a basic vanilla tractor.
It's likely that the transmissions and other mechanical components of the tractors from the 70s are no longer patent enforceable.
Oh yeah,
that's what we need. That's what we need to get started on an open source tractor.
I could be our YouTube channel. Another level one tractors.
It's funny because we would have no idea how to even use the tractor.
But we could do some damn fine open source software.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a cool thing to do. Because God, can you imagine the corporate espionage and sabotage that John Deere would attempt? They'd probably kill us. Let's be honest.
Let's just put out a hit. I mean, like, how complicated is this? Just
good luck finding us in the hills of Eastern Kentucky, bastards.
Well, speaking of technology that is needlessly complicated and over-engineered to the point of uselessness, Samsung had an interesting offering.
Samsung's clever Cero TV auto-rotates for vertical videos from your phone. Yeah, so...
a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you got a vertical video? Click.
I would love to know how long you think the transition takes.
Probably very. In my imagination, it's like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't wait to watch this 10-second clip on TikTok.
I imagine it like missing gears and staggering.
Yeah.
On the
yeah, this just seems... you know how you solve this? Don't film vertical video. Just don't do it.
Yeah, you can only get that in 43-inch model because they assume that... well, 65 is maybe just too heavy for the motor, but also they assume that anybody who's into this is too poor to get a 65-inch TV. Clearly aimed at the millennials. And finally, this isn't really a nonsense story. This is actually kind of cool, but I couldn't figure out where else to put it. Like, what topic is this? It doesn't really fit.
MIT scientists make a shape-shifting material that morphs into a human face. So it's like some kind of like plastic polymer thing, and you just fiddle with it, and it, yeah, I mean,
it's well, this one's based on temperature. So this is actually a 3D printable polymer of some kind, and you can make these little meshes out of it. You can 3D print these things, and when they change temperature, or sometimes it can be based on other stuff too. They all started out as these little flat ones, and they can turn into these other bubbles and stuff.
At one part, it sounded like it was when it cools off, but another part made it sound like when it heats up. But it's already pretty hot coming out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Looks like a Chex Mix.
Oh, I bet they're delicious.
Yeah, we should eat some of those.
They're delicious, and you get at least three new kinds of completely new cancer no one has ever seen before.
You'll be advancing medicine by eating those things.
Forbidden Chex Mix.
And this is just another sad story.
Yeah, why did you put so many sad stories?
Well, because we need to know these things, Chris. I mean, the world needs to hear this guy's story.
Friday is the upper episode.
And it's kind of a little bit of a silver lining, but not really.
U.S. Army veteran claims that his prosthetic legs were repossessed after the VA refused to pay for them. Medicare did not send me to Vietnam. So, yeah. And that's, wow. I mean, and then it was like, oh, this is going to be in the press and get a lot of coverage? Oh, here, I have your legs.
Well, but see, not from the government. So, what happened was, he got his legs through this...
Didn't we cover this?
Did we?
We covered, I'm thinking of a different story.
I think we covered this when it first happened, but there was no conclusion.
So, we got his legs through a third-party company. They billed the VA, but the VA said, wait, you've got Medicare. Let Medicare pay for this. And so they billed Medicare. And Medicare said, all right, if we'll pay for it if we have to, but there's a 20% copay. And these are some really expensive legs. They're like super high tech. So they came to the guy and they were like, all right, here's your legs. We just need to collect this money first. And he was like, dude, I don't have any legs.
How do you think I'm working right
now? I'm not making a lot of money here. Probably got PTSD. And so they said, well, no money, no legs. And they picked him up and they took him home. And then he went to the news. Now he's got the legs back. But the legs have to be calibrated. Guess who's not calibrating the legs till they get their money?
I hate that like bureaucratic hell. I mean, I've never dealt with like the VA, but like just any time you have to go between two companies, neither of which you want to take.
They're not even the companies. It's just... It's like, oh,
yeah.
It's like the FCC and the FTC, that whole subterfuge with your internet access. Oh, the FTC is going to get involved. It's the FCC. We don't need to worry about this. And it's like, this smells like a recipe for not caring.
But think about this. When the average person deals with this, they're dealing with a company that they gave money to, right? An insurance company. They're like, I gave you all this money. Now it's your turn. This guy gave his legs.
Yeah.
He has a right to be much more upset. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I feel like they were shamed into giving the legs back. Maybe they can be shamed into calibrating them. Also, the guy that had to take the legs in the first place.
Like, how shitty do you feel? You go home that night?
Wow.
Do you even sleep?
It's going to be like that Facebook guy that saw the traumatic videos. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can't do this job anymore.
That's going to be tough. I mean, not as tough as the guy who doesn't have any legs, but no one's happy in this story, except for the VA. Because they got away with not paying anything.
I feel like anyone who works at the VA is miserable anyway. Like, there's no one happy.
That's the story of 2020. Meanwhile, the flat Earth continues to be hotly contested, and I don't really want to engage in it. I don't want to fight about it. I have my belief. You have yours.
That's what got us in this situation. It's like tolerating that level.
Well, what can we do?
Well, that's also, again, we've talked about this before. In what way does that, like, influence your daily life? Like, when you get up in the morning, it's like, man, the Earth is flat, and I need everyone to know.
Maybe the Nobel Prize Committee was onto something with when they were thinking about giving that guy a Nobel Prize for the lobotomies.
It's really dark.
The answer, Krista, is if you buy that it's flat, it does impact you because everything is a lie. The most basic assumptions of the world around you you consider to be untrue.
But why would you care about this particular lie when there are other bigger ones to uncover?
Well, in this case, it was the other way around. So the story here... Well, actually, let's do the headline.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Police firefighters called in after flat earth debate turns heated.
Literally heated with a propane tank that was thrown into the fire.
Listen, you gotta...
So this is a father, a son, and the son's girlfriend. And they were camping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they had the propane for cooking, and they had the campfire for a nice festive warmth. And the girlfriend brings up that maybe she thinks the earth might be flat. And the father's response to that was to throw most of the camping gear into the fire, including the propane tank.
He just noped out really hard.
That was his version of dropping the mic. And it blew up, and the fire department came, and he was gone by then, but they're searching for him. And,
presumably, know, not the most white trash thing I've heard a family argue about over a camping trip.
Maude, how could I have gone so wrong? It's just the bottom of the lake somewhere.
Now, here's the question. Do you think the sun knows damn well that the earth is not round, the oblate spheroid? And he's just, you know, happy to be banging this girl, this dumb girl.
Oh, so, yeah.
Or does he, is he like, well, maybe she's on to something here. Let's hear her out. It's sad either way.
Maybe we should have a kid. Maybe that will make the relationship better.
It'll make us, bring us together. I'm sure I can convince her of the shape of the earth once we bring life into it. Well, Bitcoin scamming is a big business, but it's hard to do alone. And you need to be real careful who you go into business with when you're doing Bitcoin scamming.
Bitcoin scammer stealing $63 million has been brutally tortured and murdered by his business partners.
You know, I've never, you know, I can say I've never feared that from you two. Brutally tortured and murdered.
Well, you got to give it up to this guy because he was gangster till the end. So they scammed together all this money, but then he pulled the old double cross and claimed that his wallet was stolen. But they didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was lying. So they said, bro, you're going to give us the password to that wallet and we're going to see for ourselves. And they proceeded to torture him to death. And he never gave up that password.
Oh, so it's just gone forever.
Held it till the end.
Wow. Well, that would be the ultimate FU. It's like, you know, you've already been tortured to the point that it just doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't recover. And it's like, all right.
I don't remember where that story was, but here's the crazy part. Like, after he was dead, they took him to the hospital, and they were like, bring him back, we're not done. And the hospital was like, this man is dead. So they went for a second opinion at another hospital. And when they got that opinion, they just noped out.
Wow.
A second opinion. Wow.
Oh, it's another crazy... Also a dark story, but it's kind of like a fun... You know, it's like, it's just bad people. Whereas the veteran guy... You feel sorry for him, but the Bitcoin scammers, it's like, oh, that's just kind of like a madcap adventure. No one of value was hurt.
I find that just so, like, I don't know. Anyway.
Michigan has legalized weed, Krista.
They've had legal medicinal.
But now it's just straight recreation.
Oh.
Just go in and buy it.
Oh, actually, I actually did know that because a friend of mine was visiting her in-laws over the Christmas break, and apparently, like, half the family decided... to blaze it. No. And she had to watch the kids while that was happening.
Should you be blazing it in the house with kids in it?
She was in the room, but yeah.
Anyway, some unintended consequences have come from that end of Prohibition. One that you might never think about.
Small Upper Peninsula town buys odor device because it quote-unquote stinks from marijuana.
So, apparently, a lot of people... This was a town that had... some houses for sale, and it was real estate wasn't that expensive, and some opportunistic growers snapped up that property.
And so now everything.
So the town is trying to figure out a way to, now they don't have a smell ordinance, but they're looking at passing one.
Wow.
And once they do, they'll use that machine to...
Now that's going to be bad news though, because, you know, I think we've all driven by some of the food manufacturing, the food processing plants and stuff. And
a Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, there's no enforcing that.
And who says what's a good smell and what's a bad smell? It's totally subjective.
Yeah. There's some case law about that that's maybe going to be a little problematic for that township. Well, we'll see.
We'll follow that story. And so we all have to think about, you know, we're getting older and... Krista's just starting to realize that she's getting older. Like, she didn't even accept it till today.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know what an e-girl is. I can't define it.
And it's only going to get worse. You're only going to get more and more out of touch, and the world is only going to seem more and more hostile towards you, Krista. Mm. So look forward to that. Cool. And when, but when it's all done, the question is, what are they going to do with my remains?
I don't care. I'm not here.
Just throw me in the dumpster, right?
Yeah.
But legally, they won't let you do that. So burial seems kind of barbaric to me. Cremation, yeah, that seems like the way to go. But wait, there's another option.
First human composting site set for Seattle. So you can be composted.
But they can't use you on, like, any food garden. It would have to be on a regular garden.
Well, here's the thing, Krista. So they mix you... It would
take a long time, too.
No, no. They mix you with wood chips and something else.
Oh, do they grind you down first?
Maybe.
Bone meal?
I don't know, but they put you in, like, a plot with dirt and all these, you know, accelerants for your decomposition.
You need moist...
And then, at, what is it? Was it like 6 months or 4 months?
They put a tree on top of you.
It didn't take a long time. No. Oh. The family can come. It's one square yard of soil. You can come and get it and take it home.
That would be kind of fun. It's like talk to grandpa as a tree.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want the dirt from a loved one. No. I mean, like, do you spread the dirt like you do ashes? I don't really.
Well, you could, like Wendell's talking about, you could plant something.
In the dirt.
And, yeah. And then when that tree is struck by lightning and dies, it's like, oh, grandpa died again.
Can you imagine? Because fresh dirt, if you've ever had cats, you're going to look out that first day and they're just going to be digging holes and just shitting all in grandpa. But maybe that's what he wanted. You know, he wanted to go back to nature.
How expensive is this permit? Does this article mention?
I don't think it's super expensive.
Honestly, I feel like dirt, like just burying someone is the least efficient.
$5,500.
Oh, that's about comparable to...
Now, that they will. That doesn't include, like, a casket or anything, obviously. But your funeral service is there in the facility, which is maybe a little impersonal.
Yeah. Yeah. You have the service, and it's like, all right, we're just going to wheel her back and just grind her up, put her in the chipper.
Like, you know, you're sitting there, it's like, let's remember, Dad. Oh. And then there's, like, a beeping from the dump truck.
Oh.
It's dropping
up. No, 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 no. I just got a mental picture of, like, you know, everybody sort of weeping quietly, and they're all dressed in black, and there's tissues and stuff, and then the crew comes out, and, you know, you're on display or whatever because it's the memorial service, and they take you back, and then you, somewhere off screen, you just hear, like, a chipper shredder.
During the prayer.
Yeah, it's just like...
It's really bottoming out, too. Oh. And your guy's like, run it back a little.
They're big bone.
They come out, and when their coveralls are just drenched with blood.
Oh.
Oh, Saturday Night Live should do a skit like that. If they were still a funny show, they would.
Yeah, I was going to say, they won't touch that.
Speaking of, you know, pets and your cats that you have and what they do with your freshly turned loved ones, the question... That's on everybody's mind, of course, is how many cats is too many? Yeah.
I think there's individual laws.
This city has a law, right? I think it's like four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only have four, which, I don't know, I feel like you could juggle six cats, maybe.
I think it gets to a point, though, where it becomes a sanitation issue, where it's hard to keep up with the litter.
Well, that's kind of what happened here.
Oh, North Carolina man and his 17 cats file a civil rights lawsuit after county seizes animals. Oh, I missed this one. I didn't see this one.
So this guy had 17 cats. Obviously, that's a little excessive, right? But if you could take care of 17 cats, who's to say you couldn't? Now, here's where the argument comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The social services were called in by a neighbor citing the smell. And the social services claimed that they had to don masks because of the ammonia in the air.
That's the thing is, like, there just reaches a point where, like, no matter how much you clean... It's going to be almost impossible to keep that space properly, like, disinfected.
With two cats and the Roomba, I'm still vacuuming, like, every 3 days.
Yeah.
Just to control that litter.
Well, we vacuum every Saturday. Like, just... And just Root's not really even that dirty, but, like...
If I went Saturday to Saturday, I would be walking on, like, 2 inches of gravel by the end of the week.
Oh, yeah. So we don't have the litter box problem. Ours is just hair.
There was a lot of that, too. So, you do have to think about, like, what's the lifestyle of the cat like in that scenario? Is that a happy cat living with 17 other cats in the filth?
It's probably about, like, mom's cat where it's just terrified of literally everything.
Well, that cat was like nigh on feral, right? Though, yeah. Like,
but for most of the day, it doesn't have to be because it likes her, right?
Yeah.
So it's fine for most of the time. It's just you.
Literally everything, like or anything, plastic bags, boxes.
My cats love plastic bags. They'll just dive right down into them, and it's like, well, you're going to suffocate one time when I'm not here, aren't you?
This is how you go.
I'm pretty sure that Mom's cat wouldn't have the PTSD that it does if it weren't for the possums. And it's like, what dastardly things were those possums doing to make that cat afraid of literally everything?
You know, there are possums in Australia, but they're like cute and cuddly, and I'm like, I think we got Australia's possums, and they got America's possums. Like, there was a mix-up.
What makes you think America should be cute and cuddly? Nothing about our behavior toward the international world.
No. But like, you know, Australia has all the terrifying animals. Our possum should have been over there.
Yeah. Maybe it's because, you know, they're so guarded about bringing in other species. Maybe our possums got contaminated at some point.
Yeah. They're very hissy.
Well, speaking of cats, the Cats movie is still in theaters.
Somehow. I can't wait.
How is that even
possible?
Are you
going to see it, Crystal?
I kind of want to.
Wow.
Well, perhaps you should take this advice on the best way to experience that film.
Most terrifying experience of my life, says viewer. Cats viewers are seeing the film on drugs. I kind of want to go to the movie tavern with some friends and just get drunk and watch this movie. We've been talking about it, but we haven't gone yet.
So it mostly seems to be hallucinogenic type stuff that people are abusing when they watch this movie. And it doesn't seem like... Now, they did the emergency graphic fix. Doesn't seem to have helped.
No, look at that. That's terrifying.
Well, we don't know if this is from before or after.
Does it matter?
That is horrific.
It's just the longer you look at it, the weirder it gets. Are there any more pictures? I've seen a lot of screen grabs. I've also seen some videos of it, like, that people have taken from the theater.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a whole, like, roach dancing scene, and it's like, I'm not ready for that.
No.
But I am kind of ready for it. I kind of want to go see it.
They should have given them claws and paws. They shouldn't have.
They did in some places.
They're, like, they're too humanoid is the issue. Like, it's just strange.
They should have used that face rig technology to make them actual cats.
Did somebody include the director into the whole point of Cats was to just let singers and dancers do singing and dancing on stage for no real reason other than
their talent? Just the joy of dancing.
Isn't that all of Broadway?
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like we've moved on from musicals as a people.
They were more popular, like in the 70s, I think, was like the heyday of like movie musicals.
Yeah, when we didn't have anything else.
What was the first like dance music? Like I want to call it a gantry, but that's not right.
A what?
It was like jazz was kind of the.
What are you
thinking?
Like,
it was like from the time of Ben Franklin.
It's like, oh,
it's because he would like there was like the hurdy gurdy and I don't know.
Wasn't that an instrument?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was called. It's been too long.
All the music from those days is because jazz came from the black artists actually wanting to make good music, but during the day they had to play that big band garbage, and then they'd be like, "We can do better."
I have no doubt in my mind that historians will look back on the Cats movie the same way that we look back on Ben Franklin's musical instruments that was just a bunch of cats where it would hit their tails with like a nail to make the cat scream, and that was Ben Franklin's cat musical instrument.
Could the cats be part of the trifecta of the fall of modern civilization? Because we've got the fire.
That is terrifying if that somehow survives the records of the fall, and then it's like anthropologists look at that and they're like, what the hell were they doing?
And we've obviously got the politicians who are fighting amongst themselves as the world literally burns. We've got the big fire. We've got the possible world war percolating. And then we've got cats.
Cats is really the number one indicator.
And speaking of nuclear holocaust, Israel has an interesting nuclear policy. Their nuclear policy is, we're not going to tell you what it is. We might have nukes and we might not. Now, a lot of people assume that, yeah, they do. Which is interesting because nobody else in the Middle East is allowed to. But Netanyahu maybe made a little faux pas when he was talking.
Netanyahu corrects himself after calling Israel a nuclear power. And then everybody was like, wait, was that a slip? What did you do? What did you do?
Yeah, that was a slip.
Yeah.
He says not. But that's what he would say, isn't it?
Unless he's playing all sides.
Was that the match?
I don't know. A The fire's already burning. That was the pile of munitions lying in the fire. Now this, I got to tell you, prices was like $320 plus so much a year or whatever. But if you can take my toothbrushing time down to this level, I will pay it, because that's the most boring time in the day. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, you can't do anything else really while you do that.
Incredible toothbrush can deep clean your teeth in just 10 seconds. Now, I read the description for this thing, and I imagined a mouth guard that you put in your mouth, and you're waiting longer in anticipation of some terrible feeling, and then it's over as soon as it started.
Is there a picture of this thing?
Yes.
But there's also a 1 in 800 chance that it's just going to break out all your teeth.
Oh, I feel like that would bring up my PTSD of when I had to have impressions made for my braces.
Oh, those are terrible, aren't they?
Yeah.
So there it is. So I guess it would be a total of 20 seconds, because you got to do both sides, right? Yeah. Or you could buy two of them.
Well, it might be double-sided. Maybe you bite down on it.
No, because look at the top.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you pop that thing in, and in 10 seconds, now this is supposed to be way more effective, but it's something about the angle. Anyway, 10 seconds of, you know, horror, and 50% of your mouth is perfectly clean.
Yeah, except you have to brush like 2 times a day. So you have to deal with this 4 times a day.
Oh, no.
It's 40 whole seconds.
Seconds.
I guess, I don't know.
But, it was, how much was it?
How many dentists agree on this?
There's a picture
of her. If it's not 9 out of 10.
Her holding it. She looks so happy because her teeth are clean. It is...
Notice that her mouth is...
92 pounds.
92 pounds. What's that in dollars now?
Dollar.
It'll be a little over $100.
But you got, once a month, it costs you 21 pounds to buy a new...
Oh, that sounds like a subscription service.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
Mouth guard of the month.
Tooth cleaning as a service. But I'm already doing that with my electric toothbrush. They're not that expensive, but they're pretty expensive.
I only need about 4 to 6 heads a year with the electric toothbrush, though.
Yeah, but I'm a little frugal with my heads. Probably shouldn't be.
Speaking of heads.
I'm not going to try to add to that.
Arizona City under siege by graffiti artist who keeps writing penis man on everything.
I was sad that they didn't show an example of it, because I don't, if it's in here, I can't see it.
You know, our graffiti artists here in our little city, there's Rom and there's Mako, and personally I'm a Rom fan. Yeah. I root for Rom because Rom's the OG. Well, Mako's an imposter.
Rom's got the most coverage by far.
Yeah, Rom's everywhere.
So here in Arizona, Penis Man is apparently just tagging everything in sight.
And that's funny, because that's a funny word.
Recently off his meds.
And they can't find him, and they are apparently getting a lot of pressure from the community and the local politicians. But the police are saying, look, we don't have a way to find this guy, and we're wasting our time looking for Penis Man.
Did you cut the story about the college students spray painting the swastika?
I didn't even see that.
I think that was the one where a bunch of college students wandered onto campus, and they were wearing face masks and stuff, and they were spray painting swastikas because there was surveillance and all this other kind of stuff. It's very similar to the penis paint story.
Swastikas are a slightly different thing than spray painting a penis man. Just not even the penis, just the word penis man.
I mean, the penis in itself maybe is not threatening. Yeah.
Well, they obscured their masks, or they obscured their faces with masks and blah blah blah. They did not, however, disable Wi-Fi on their cell phones, so their cell phones connected to the campus Wi-Fi using their student credentials.
Where was this?
Some college somewhere.
It's a bonus story. We didn't even mention it. We didn't actually include a link.
I don't remember seeing that at all.
Yeah.
Maybe I got clickbaited into something, because sometimes that happens. Like I'll go to read one of these stories and then. It was a clickbait thing.
Speaking of which, I'm gonna move my mic here. Pardon me, because we forgot to add the other story. And let's lead into this one first. So we saw that the Supreme Court of India ruled that you can't turn off the internet to Kashmir, which is a big win, right, for the people of India. But an even bigger win in Brazil.
Brazilian Supreme Court rules that Netflix is allowed to show gay Jesus film. Judge in Rio had ordered the film's withdrawal, reviving allegations of censorship, but no, they put it back.
I think this is satire.
You think?
Well, you know, the way people were talking, so I didn't know anything about this, and I saw people getting angry on Twitter about it. And I was like, well, did they say, like, was that a documentary? But no, it's literally just a humor comedy thing. And it's like, well, does anyone take that seriously? Like,
yeah, exactly. Because the name of it is The First Temptation of Christ. And so, you know, it's like really over the top. Probably actually more offensive to gay people than Christians.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Jesus is the gay stereotype. But apparently the studio that made it was firebombed.
Wow.
Oh.
People were so sick. I never understand why God and Jesus need to be defended by people. Literally the most powerful beings in existence, or singular being, depending on how you look at it. But he needs you.
Three is one. Come on.
He needs you to throw a punch. No. No, you don't matter.
That building will be wiped away in a bolt of lightning if it shall be.
Or, you know what? It doesn't even have to be that. It could be erased from the timeline, and we would never know it existed. The scope is so large. Any effort that you make toward it is pathetic in comparison. God doesn't need you. Just keep
your theologies actually sound there.
And finally, just a recent addition, because we got clickbaited in an earlier article, and I can't pass this up. I don't even know the details. We're just going by the headline because we haven't read this.
CES 2020, Pampers, a new device that sends you a notification when your kid has a dirty diaper. So yeah, look, it's a little puck thingy.
Okay. Hit the play button. Let's watch it.
It's literally from Pampers, Procter & Gamble. Oh, no.
TechSmart with Rich DeMuro.
Oh, this is just no.
Is there actually a video of it? I need to see it being used.
Oh, this is not it, is it? Oh,
yeah, no, that's
there
it.
We go.
Wait, that looks like a... What?
That's the camera. Because everything has to
Why is there a camera?
Everything needs a camera and a microphone. That's just...
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's sticky.
Yeah. You just...
Can you imagine that having that camera? Oh, the graph.
The graphs. No.
Can you imagine exporting that data?
To your doctor, like, your pediatrician?
No, no, no. So, like, you know, your son's 16 years old. He brings home his first date, and you whip out the poop graphs. It's like, listen, oh, he filled his diaper every 3 hours.
He's a, listen, you have nothing to worry about with my son. He was a very consistent pooper. It's like, what?
You want to talk about... the perfect texture and moisture content. It was like nothing you've ever seen.
We worked very hard to keep his diet.
That was literally one of the things in Rick and Morty. Like, there was a thing. He had a computer that had all of his poops cataloged in it.
Oh, it takes a picture when you poop. Oh, that's what the camera's for.
I think the camera's probably for other things like spying and surveillance and consumer data.
What? Just do the sniff test, you know. The low-tech option does work.
That would be kind of cool, though, because you know how babies often get that, like, weird face when they're pushing one out?
Yeah.
So, like, you get a shot
of
that
every
time.
Or they smile. They smile when they have to go, and it's like, that baby's not happy. That baby's just pooping.
You could have an Instagram that's nothing but pooping babies.
The next influencer is not even 2 years old.
They're a newborn infant.
People are giving their kid, like, chia seeds and psyllium husk. It's like, we need more content. Come on, output.
Oh, they keep their baby in diapers till they're five.
That's it for this week. We'll see you next week.